But today is the peace candle this morning, and we've asked Amy to come. What an incredible story as we've watched her navigate in some very difficult days in her life. She lost her husband. She lost her son. She battled cancer. And yet she's standing right in the middle of God's peace. Would you like to hear that story? Put your hands together and greet Amy as she comes to share with us. She's asked me to stand with her in case she can't finish, so I'm going to do that.
Okay, so 2 years ago on Christmas Eve, I was facing my first Christmas as a widow. A few months prior to that, my husband of almost 30 years had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and 6 weeks later, he died. Our family had been through a lot of very difficult times prior to Bill's death. Our oldest son, Ryan, was diagnosed with a very rare fatal illness, and we were told that he wouldn't live to be 18 years old. I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. Bill had battled cancer earlier in his life and had overcome that. And as a result of a lot of the things that we had gone through, Bill had been an accountant at Boeing for 17 years, and he felt like God had not put those things in our life for no reason, and he felt a call into ministry, and he got his master's degree at Friends, and he became a hospice chaplain. So the last 7 years of his life, he was a hospice chaplain because we knew what it was like to be told that someone very dear to us was not going to make it. God, in his grace and mercy, allowed us to have way more time with Ryan than we ever dreamed. But when Bill's death came so quickly, both of my boys that had been worship leaders in their church didn't want to go to church anymore. To say that we were stunned beyond belief. We'd been through so much, God. Where were you? There were so many people that prayed, and he was gone. So that first Christmas Eve without him, I put on my brave face, and I had the kids and the grandkids over, and we celebrated Christmas. After they left, all of the feelings and the emotions that I had pushed away for several months came crashing down in on me. I was so angry, so hurt. I'd had so many people tell me what a strong woman I was going through all the things that we had been through. Not true. I went out in that backyard. I looked up in the sky, and I chewed God up one side and down the other. And when I got done chewing him out, I chewed out my husband for bailing on me. I was still going to have to face Ryan losing his life. And I'm thinking, great. You brought me through breast cancer so I could do this alone. This is what my life looks like now. I'm going to have to walk this by myself. God, are you kidding me? What happened that night was that I came to the end of myself. I'd been a Christian for a whole lot of years. I didn't know what I believed about God anymore. I didn't even know what I was supposed to do with my life at that point. My life had been flipped so upside down, I didn't know what end was up anymore. I left for about 9 weeks, got on a plane a couple of days later, and my parents live in Ohio, so I spent a few weeks with my parents, and then I had a friend that lived in South Florida, and I went down and spent a few weeks with her. I had been strong for my kids, my mother-in-law, my grandkids. And I realized I had no strength left anymore. When I came to the end of myself, what I realized was if I was going to be able to move forward, I needed to crawl up in God's lap and heal. And I didn't even know if I trusted him enough to do that. Because quite frankly, at that point, I didn't. But through that time of reflection, that I allowed people to take care of me, which is a hard thing to do. I like to take care of everybody else. God spoke to my heart and brought me here to this church where I could heal, brought people into my life that prayed for me, encouraged me, took me under their wings and mother henned me. And over the next year and a half, I began to see who God really was. He showed himself faithful to me in so many areas of my life. I came to know him in a different way than I've ever known him before. Had my husband still been alive, would I have seen as clearly? Maybe not. I didn't have a backup anymore. God had to be my backup. I had to rely on him, and he brought finances that I didn't know. There was provision that I didn't even know about, so I didn't have to lose my house. When I needed to go back to work, he provided a job for me that would give me a schedule, not knowing that Ryan was going to move in with me and we were going to have my grandkids every other week. He provided me a schedule that accommodated that a month and a half before Ryan moved in with me. The last year of Ryan's life, he separated from his wife, moved in with me. Physically, he was declining quite a bit, and he needed help. And he came to me and said, "Mom, can I please move in with you?" Well, that was a real change, because I hadn't counted on that. Just when I got used to being by myself, I had my son and my grandkids. That was a big change. But God called me to walk beside Ryan to his finish line. This spring, Ryan's health continued to decline, and we went to Philadelphia. The only doctor in the United States that did the surgery that Ryan needed to have was in Philadelphia. We made two trips up there. Ryan went through two different procedures. And he passed away in September. We got through Thanksgiving this year. Ryan's birthday was the day after Thanksgiving. My daughter-in-law and my grandkids are really struggling, and she was on the family computer, and she ran across a saved document. Ryan had written a letter to all of us that was to be read after he passed. He never told us about it. She happened to find it. God's timing was perfect. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about that letter. In the midst of that Philadelphia experience for me, walking Ryan to his finish line, God gave me a peace. The storm did not go away, but he held my hand and carried me through that time, and in the middle of what I thought was the worst thing that could possibly happen to me, there was a peace. More so was the peace that God gave to Ryan. Here he was, a very young man with a young family and children that he loved dearly, and he was facing his own mortality, knowing it was coming. This letter that we found, he wrote 6 years ago.
Can I read it to us?
So I'm going to read you a few excerpts of the peace that God gave Ryan. I feel like I have a time bomb inside of me. It's counting down, and eventually it's going to go off. The only question is when. That can be a difficult thing to live with just from a practical standpoint. It's hard to make plans for the future with this knowledge. It's the sort of thing that could drive you crazy with worry if you let it. I choose not to let it get me down. I try to focus on the things that I can control, those things that I have the ability to change. I can't prevent my bones from breaking or my lungs from filling with fluid, so I don't let it overwhelm me. I can control my attitude and how I interact with people around me. I'll choose to remain positive and be thankful for each and every moment that I'm given on this earth. I've been blessed with an amazing wife, two beautiful girls, and the best family a person could wish for. I sure hope I have many days to come, but even if I don't, I'm filled with gratitude for the ones I've been given. There are two things that I pray for every day for all of you. First, I pray that God will have mercy on us. I do not wish for a long, painful, drawn-out death. I don't want that, and I don't want that for all of you to have to watch that to happen to me. Second, I pray that God will send you angels in the wilderness. I've been reading a book called Gilead by Marilynne Robinson. The book is a letter from a father to his son. The father is a minister who is in his 70s and has a heart condition and knows that he's dying soon. He's writing this letter to his son, so his son will have something to remember him by. This has really been helpful for me, to help me think about what kind of things I want to write about. Anyway, in the book, the father is remembering a sermon that he gave on the story of Hagar and Ishmael, and how they are sent off into the wilderness, and how the Lord sends an angel to intervene at the critical moment to save the child. Here is a quote from the book that put this notion of praying for angels of the wilderness in my head. Any father, particularly an old father, must finally give his child up to the wilderness and trust to the providence of God. Great faith is required to give the child up, trusting God to honor the parents' love for him by assuring that there will indeed be angels in the wilderness. I'm not sure what lies ahead for all of us, but I know that God's going to take care of us, even though it may not be in the way that we think he should be doing it. Then the next day, he added a little bit more to this letter. We treat death as if it's the greatest of all calamities, when for all we know, it's the greatest of all blessings. That was a quote from Socrates. I really like this quote. It's helped to give me a new perspective on things. For the longest time, I struggled with the concept of God's love and his justice. The world is filled with so much suffering. I just could not understand how a loving God could let this happen. When I read this quote, I realized that my problem with God's justice was all based on the fact that I believed that death was the worst thing that could happen to a human being. How could God let so many innocent people die? If death isn't the worst thing that can happen to us, maybe God is not being unjust when he lets people die. The main thing that I realized through this quote is just how limited our perspective is. It's like we can only see one tiny piece of a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. From our perspective, the picture has jagged edges, is distorted, and it's not beautiful at all. But I believe that there is a beautiful portrait being put together with all of our broken and dirty pieces. We just can't see it yet. Then he goes on to share this Chinese parable about a farmer and his son. And I'm going to paraphrase that for you. This Chinese farmer gets a horse, which he needs to do his crops with, and it runs away. And the neighbor said, "That's bad news." And the farmer says, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" The horse comes back, brings another horse with him. He gives the second horse to his son, who gets on it, rides it, The horse throws him. It breaks his leg. The neighbor said, "Sorry for your bad news." And the farmer says, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" In a week or so, the emperor's men come to take every able-bodied young man away to fight in a war, and the farmer's son is spared. I think this is another example of how limited our view is. We are just like the farmer. We can't see the future, and we don't know how things. Are going to work out. It would have been easy for him to become angry when the horse ran away or his son broke his leg. I'm sure this would have been devastating to him. It's only with a great amount of time and distance from the situation that we're truly able to assess whether something is truly good or bad. I'm not trying to say that my death is a good thing and that you all should be happy about it. I can only imagine how difficult it must be for you. I simply wish to encourage you by reminding you that we can't see the whole picture, and what seems like the worst thing imaginable may not be. I love you with all my heart. It saddens me to know that I've left you earlier than I would have wanted, but don't weep for me. I've found a peace that is so complete that words can't begin to describe it. I'll never throw up again. I'll never feel short of breath. I'll never feel that deep ache in my bones. I've been blessed 1,000 times over, and I'm grateful for every single moment that I got to spend with you. I loved my life very much and those around me, and I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. I don't feel an ounce of bitterness about the fact that I have this disease. I'm convinced that I'm a better person because of it. Every moment is a gift, and I'm filled with gratitude for each one that I have received. No one ever promised us that life would be fair, because frankly, it isn't. But don't let it get you down. In this life, you will find whatever it is you're seeking. There's plenty to be depressed about, upset about, and bitter about. But there's also so much to be thankful for. Lots of beauty and lots of hope. Seek out hope. Seek out love. Seek out peace. And I promise you, you will find them. And I will meet you in the place where there is no darkness. The scripture I want to share with you is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is in Bill's handwriting, and we put this up on our refrigerator to see it every day shortly after Ryan was diagnosed when he was 9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful what happens when Christ replaces worry at the center of your life. This Christmas Eve, as I stand before you to light this candle of peace, I will miss Ryan, and there will be some tears, but there is great peace in my heart. Because although I have walked through some very difficult things, God has shown himself faithful to my family.
Would you stand with me, please? Father, we lift up Amy to you and her journey. As we look at it, for many of us, we're just in awe. But we know that you have ministered peace to her heart, the peace that passes all understanding. And you brought her through this, not just for the act of bringing her through, but you're going to use her. And what she has received from you, she will give to others. So, Lord, we pray you will anoint her with your peace and that she will be a dispenser of your peace wherever she goes. We know that the years ahead will still be a little difficult, but with your hope and with your love, joy, and peace, we'll be able to navigate it, and we will arrive to our destination safely. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So part of Amy's story, this thing of angels in the wilderness is intriguing to me. God surrounded Amy with special people, even in Philadelphia. But she went to the mortuary. I don't know if you know the story. After her son had passed. She went to make arrangements, made all the arrangements, and then the mortician looked at her and said, "By the way, this bill has been paid in full." Amen. You can leave. It's all taken care of. I remember I used to meet with Amy's husband for breakfast once a week. I remember the day he told me, he says, "Hey, I've been diagnosed with cancer, but no big deal. It's very treatable." 6 weeks later, he's gone. What? How's this? I remember the day he was called to be a hospice chaplain. Actually, it was a funeral that I had preached. And Bill and I met afterwards. And he said, "God spoke to me during that funeral. I'm supposed to help hurting people." I said, "Really?" He worked at Boeing. And he said, "I'm going to resign my job and become a hospice chaplain." Of course, I was like, "Let's slow down here a little bit, okay? Let's pray about this. Let's talk about this some more." But he was set in motion. And so their journey began. Just incredible. I remember when Ryan sat at the dinner table one night on an oxygen tank, and he said to his parents after dinner, he said, "I know this is hard on you, but," he said, "you know, I wasn't supposed to live this long, but I have. I wasn't supposed to get married, but I did. I wasn't supposed to have children, but I have these lovely children here." He said, "So Mom and Dad, the way I figure it, I'm on bonus time, and I'd like you to celebrate that with me." Wow, who needs an attitude like that today? These stories help me. They encourage me. And I know in our weakness, God's power is perfected. I have a lot more questions than answers. But I know God's hope and love and joy and peace are going to anoint us for whatever it is we're going through. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Amy. We appreciate that.